With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's 11 a.m., and that means it is time to talk to the Redskins starting quarterback Kirk Cousins on Grant and Danny as we welcome you back in on 106.7 The Fan. And Kirk, over 300 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions, a brilliant statistical day, but as is often the case, you guys were not able to finish, and that means that the narrative changes considerably with that end-of-the-game sequence. As you look back, how do you try to make sense of everything?
Yeah, just a tough day. You know, we did so many good things. Felt a lot like last week as well, where we moved the ball and did what we wanted to do offensively, really from the first quarter to the fourth. But just wasn't enough. And you know, I think we can talk through that last sequence of plays, but that really was where I felt like the game got away from us.
Kirk, before we get to that, you say this all the time, that it is a week-to-week league, and I know that's cliche, but of course it's true. I mean, you don't have much time to get over it. You guys got to turn around and play again here in just a couple days against the Giants, a game you guys got to have. But I know there got to be some that are harder than others, and yesterday feels like that's one of those. How do you turn the page easily? I know you guys are pros, but that one's got to stick with you a little bit.
Yeah, it's a tough loss. It's so hard to win in this league. And the wins are so precious that when you feel like you have one right there and it slips through your fingers, it certainly can eat at you. You know, and we've said it so many times on this show, and we say it time and time again throughout the year, that the margin for error is so small, and the difference between a team that, you know, is patting everybody on the back at the end of the season and a team that everybody's getting fired, the difference, you know, could be a few plays. I mean, a call by a referee, it can be, I mean, you never know. And so it's a very fragile thing. And, you know, we just did not make enough plays yesterday to come out on top.
Kirk Cousins on Grant and Danny every Monday after every game, joining us on 106.7 The Fan exclusively. All right, so let's go to the intentional grounding, because that's where the game turned. You guys are first and 10 at the 34 with a little over 30 seconds left. Clock's running. I heard what you said post-game. I heard what Jay Gruden said post-game, and I still don't really understand what happened. So let's dig deep on this. Take me to where you're at the line of scrimmage. You're in the gun. You got two receivers to your right. What happens where Gruden signals something in? Take us through that.
Yeah, I'll go into a little more detail. You know, eventually we work in practice, you know, throughout training camp and our two-minute drills. If we only need a field goal, usually when we get into field goal range, we pretty much – play conservative at that point. The thought is, now we run the ball and we're just going to run the clock down and kick the field goal. We're not going to be aggressive and continue to try to gain more and more yards. And so 34-yard line, we're really on that fringe area, and the call came in to run it. And so my thought process is, you know, we're running a one-back power play and I'm going to hand it off. We're running it at all costs. And, you know, we have no timeouts left. So once he runs it, basically we got to kill it on second down. And then the field goal team comes out on third down and kicks it. But, you know, Jay, I believe, saw the blitz that was coming, the look from the defense, and he knew the run was pretty much stuffed. And typically when we have that run play called, if we were to get that, I, in the huddle, tell the receivers to run a route that enables me to throw the ball as an answer to that look, rather than completely audible out of the play. And in the huddle, I didn't say that, because I'm saying this is a run at all costs play. We're just going to run it. That's the whole point. We're calling this play is to run it. So didn't tag that. And as I get to the
real quick, let me ask this. You guys aren't even in the huddle, right? You're running up to the line and you're just barking things kind of generically to guys. But is that where you would give them whatever you need to say that they would run that route if it's hot?
Well, I believe at that point, again, it all happened so fast. I don't know if we had used our timeout in that moment or if Jamison had stepped out of bounds, but I believe it was a stopped clock.
Okay, gotcha.
But if we had been up at the line of scrimmage running, then yes, I would have either had to use hand signals or just use my voice to communicate the play. But I still could have hand signaled the route. But we didn't say it because I thought this is a run at all costs. The whole point we're calling a run is to run it. If we want to throw it, we'd call a pass. So I'm at the line of scrimmage, and I see Jay kind of on the sidelines, and I see what I think to be in the noise. I mean, I can't really hear him, but I see him say throw it. And I'm assuming what he meant is the play's dead. The run's not going to work. It's not going to get us. If anything, we're going to lose yards. And right now on the 34-yard line, yards are precious. And I'm thinking, well, Crowder and Doctson are over there. If I literally just throw it over their heads, they're in the area. They're eligible receivers, not to mention, if I'm not under pressure, it's not intentional grounding because I'm not really at risk of a sack. So I can just throw it in their general direction. And because I'm not under pressure and because they're in the area, it won't matter. And, you know, you saw what happened. I threw the ball, and it looks like I'm throwing nobody. But in my opinion, or before I threw the ball, my opinion was they'll be in the general area. How do you define the difference between an inaccurate pass and intentional grounding, especially when there's nobody pressuring you in the sense that you're actually at risk of a sack? So I don't quite understand the rule, because if I threw the ball down the field and there was a receiver 15 yards away, but I threw it so inaccurately that it was 15 yards away from him, that's never called intentional grounding. So where is the difference between an inaccurate throw and, you know, intentional grounding? That was my struggle with
and
it.
And for what it's worth, Kirkman, the league has apparently told Jay Gruden that it shouldn't have been called intentional grounding. But I guess going back to the play, so you meant to burn the ball basically toward the sideline and stop the clock. It wasn't like there was a miscommunication.
Yes, it was essentially like clocking it. I mean, I wanted to just spike it. I wanted to throw it at Jamison's shins, which would have been better. Maybe if I throw it right at Jamison's cleats, like you do with a screen that's dead, you just throw it at their cleats, then they would have said, oh, there's a receiver in the area. But I just tried to do the exact same thing by just throwing it over his head out of bounds, thinking he's still in the area. The ball's going at him. If he had turned and looked at me and the ball had gone 10 feet over his head, they would have said, oh, just an inaccurate throw. But I guess because he didn't turn and look at me, they're allowing that to affect the judgment of the call. It just gets to be a little gray.
All right, last two quick things on this, because I hate that this is all we're talking about on a day when you had one of your better passing performances in a couple years, but obviously this is one of the big stories out of the game. The last two things would be, one, when you talked to Jay afterwards, what did he say? Were you right? Was he telling you to throw the ball? And then secondly, I'm curious, Kirk, about the runoff on the clock. I didn't know after the 10-second runoff that the clock was running. You kind of went up and looked like you were checking something. Did you know the clock was running after that?
I didn't realize the clock was running. Didn't know that. And I was just trying to make sure our protection was good because they brought a pressure and wanted to make sure we were picked up. And I felt like, you know, if we can get 5-10 yards here, who knows, maybe we're back in field goal range and we still have a chance. So this is a really important play. So I was trying to make sure our protection was good so that if I had to go downfield, I could. And then you saw what happened.
Kirk Cousins is with us, and the Kirk Cousins Fan Question of the Week is presented by Mitsubishi Electric Cooling and Heating. Mitsubishi Electric Systems can heat or cool multiple rooms, just one room at a time, with no ductwork, while saving you up to 40% off your energy bills compared to traditional HVAC. Learn more at MitsubishiComfort.com. Question comes from Frederick in Northwest D.C. It's about the drive before this, Kirk, where you guys ran it three straight times, two successful runs, then the third down run gets stuffed. Good play, I guess, by the Saints. But were you disappointed you didn't get a chance to throw something because that's where you guys are the best?
Well, I think in that situation, third and I want to say less than a yard, you know, you probably don't throw it there just situationally. Now, whether you run a sneak or a power play or an off tackle run, I mean, that you can debate or talk about, but I think the call there with, you know, less than a yard is you run the ball and you try to, you know, get that yard and keep the clock running and basically win the game on that play. But we were unable to get the yard. We punt back to them and they go down and score. But, you know, there's just so many plays you can point to. I look at that one as a big one. I look at, you know, the end of the half sequence where we missed the third down completion, which potentially we had. And then if you convert, now at minimum, you probably have a field goal. Maybe you go down and score 7. And then we try to kick a field goal. We jump off sides. We lose those 3 points. Then we punt to them. They go down and get 3 points. So it's a 6-point swing in a matter of, you know, the last minute of the half. And those are the kinds of sequences that you realize come back to haunt you at the end of the game. And, you know, the letter to Bruce Allen or whatever they do to say, you know, we're sorry, wrong call or whatever it may be. You know, it's tough because there's nobody bringing that up in February and March when we're making decisions about you know, which direction to go with the organization. You know, that's the kind of thing that we appreciate the clarification, but, you know, it really doesn't do much for, I mean, this is our careers, this is our livelihoods, this is what we do, and it just is frustrating when a letter is really all you get, when it has such a major impact on the direction of our lives, you know, when we're in it and doing it every day.
Yeah, we're not going to change anything, but just want to let you know that it wasn't right. Have a great week, you know. Kirk, you guys ran the heck out of it. Samaje, I thought, really picked up steam, especially as the game went. Those couple runs I mentioned on that last drive were really impressive. There wasn't much there, and he made something happen. What did you see from him, and what did you see from this run game? You guys ran it as good as you have since that Rams game a couple months ago.
Well, Samaje ran well. I think the play designs were strong throughout the game. I thought the whole group blocking, not just the linemen, but the tight ends, the receivers doing their part in blocking, I think makes a big difference. Handling the pressure, the different stunts they were bringing to different fronts, really good job. And, Samaje can run the football. I don't think that's in question. You look at what he did in college. I mean, he ran for 400-plus yards in a game. I mean, the guy can run the ball. So he's going to be able to do that for us. He showed it yesterday, and we'll have to rely on him in these last 6 weeks. I think the growth that happened with Chris Thompson over the last few years and that we're going to ask Samaje to do is in the pass game, in protection, in running routes. That is a whole new world. That is a lot to ask a young player to do, and that's really what an NFL back has to grow into, and we're going to work on that with him, and he has all the ability and all the, you know, work ethic and professionalism, be able to do that. But I think running the football, we can really rely on him through the rest of the season.
4th and 6, you connect with Vernon Davis for 25 yards. I thought it was one of your best throws of the season. You had the zero blitz, which has given you and the offense fits at times this year. And you stand in the pocket, you take a huge shot, you deliver a strike downfield to Ryan Grant for a touchdown. Jay Gruden jumped around like a kid on Halloween night getting all his candy. He was pretty giddy. Curious, if you looked back, maybe it was another play. Was there a throw or a play where you were most proud of yourself in the game or the offense?
Yeah, I think those were big plays. I thought the sideline go ball to Vernon Davis late in the game that set up our touchdown to Jeremy Sprinkle, I thought was a big play. Again, great play design. And I think you got to credit Jay Gruden, our coaching staff, our game plans. When you think of all the injuries we've sustained, and still been able to score 30 points, still been able to move the ball. That says a lot about the scheme, the play calling, what the coaches are doing to give us a chance to be successful. And that can't go unnoticed. And, we're still finding a way to be productive. But we've got to turn into wins, and we know that. And, we do feel that we can take it one game at a time here, and we still have a lot to play for going into Thursday.
Kirk, the Redskins Nation was holding their collective breaths on one play, their best offensive weapon, Chris Thompson on the ground. Of course, that turned out poorly. And then you took a shot as well. You took a couple shots in this game, including on that slide. I'll never forget what you told Trent Williams about quarterback sliding. Sometimes that can be more dangerous. And we saw that happen. Drew a penalty there. But how are you feeling? I mean, we didn't even ask you about that at this point. You took a bunch of shots, and that's kind of happened here for several weeks.
Didn't miss a play after that fake punt.
Yeah, so you're out there for the fake punt, which is amazing, by the way. Now as Paul gets that first down, you guys are right back out there marching down the field. But what were you thinking on that play as Chris goes down and you were hit pretty good there as well?
Yeah, I've been fortunate that some of the hits I've taken to the head this year have not created any symptoms or any issues that have lingered. And like I said, when you slide, you do kind of open yourself up. If that DB wants to be stupid and use his helmet as a weapon, you pretty much make yourself available for him to do that. Whereas if you try to juke him or just dive around him, yeah, you may get hit on the side, but at least you're not getting hit in the head. And I'd rather take a hit to the side than a hit to the head. And so sometimes sliding can be counter effective. But I thought that play where Chris got hurt also could be flagged. I felt like the DB basically, again, uses his helmet as a weapon to just try to hit my head. I don't understand why it's not flagged. I don't think we should have needed a fake punt. It probably should have been another penalty because he's going helmet to helmet again. But I guess because I'm not sliding, maybe the rule is different. So I'm glad we were able to execute that fake punt. Again, a great call. Coach takes a risk, and it pays off. And we were able to go down and score and made that fake punt be very important in the game. But tough sequence of events there to lose Chris Thompson. And, it's just been the same narrative, it feels, after each and every game in terms of trying to rally and find a way to still make the offense go with the injuries we're facing and now losing Chris. Probably one of the tougher ones we've had to lose all year long.
Not having Thompson, who's probably been your offensive MVP in terms of playmakers around you, seems catastrophic. How do you get by without him? I mean, my insane idea that actually wouldn't work, but I'd do it in Madden, is I would have Jamison Crowder in the backfield with you a bunch because that guy's fearless and might be able to pick up some stuff, even though he's diminutive, but you can sneak him out and throw him the football. I'm curious, what do you do now? Because it's Samaje Perine and I think me and Danny in your running back room.
Well, we're probably going to pick up another brand new running back this week that I'll meet for the first time and then probably play with on Thursday. try to teach him the entire offense that takes months to learn in a matter of 2 days. So that'll be challenge. But yeah, I think, you know, again, it goes back to coaches all year long. They've done it and they'll do it again. They're just going to be very creative and very prepared in terms of what do we do to still be effective and move the football. And they spend out. I mean, they get there at 5 a.m. They leave close to midnight. And there's a reason they're there that long is they're strategizing and coming up with a plan to have an answer for all this adversity we're facing. And, you know, Samaje will step up and do a great job and grow quite a bit as a player in these 6 weeks. And, you know, we're going to find guys who can do it. And maybe unique personnel groupings. You may see some unique groupings that you haven't seen before that, you know, we'll have to just be creative and have a plan for whoever's healthy and ready to go.
I know that there's 6 games left, and I don't know how much even right now you care about this, but you're on pace for 4,400 yards, 27 touchdowns, and 8 interceptions, and your highest quarterback rating in a year after you lost 2 1,000-yard receivers, where you've been without much of your offensive line, where you keep losing your top weapons, where Jordan Reed has been mostly a non-factor. Do you feel like this is the best you've played? I mean, you're scrambling more. You've already set your own record for rushing yards. That you're still getting better, even though people keep trying to say you've reached your ceiling?
Yeah, that's not even hard to think about. I mean, it's not even close. I'm playing my best football I've played. Sean McVay used to always talk about there were, you know, just a few cornerstones of our offense, and one was continuous improvement. He always said, no matter how good you are, you're always continually looking to improve. And if you're not continuously improving, something is wrong. And I'm encouraged by the fact that every year I've played, I've continued to improve. And there's no doubt that a year ago, 2 years ago, I'm not doing what I'm doing this year. It's simply because I've gotten better, more experienced, have a better mastery of the offense. It enables me to still be productive as we faced adversity. And I'm glad that we didn't face that adversity 2 years ago, because I probably wouldn't have been able to have the production that I had. But now 2 years later, it's still possible. And I'm excited for 2 years from now where I could be if I continue to stay healthy and go out there and play, because every time I go out there, I get better and continue to improve. And yeah, I'm to answer your question, I'm playing my best football, and you know, I'm excited about that and just continuing to try to get better.
Kirk, my last one for you. It's the league doesn't forgive, man. Short week, quick turnaround. You guys got to play on Thanksgiving. What's this week going to be like for you guys schedule-wise and just in terms of getting yourselves ready to go again on Thursday?
Yeah, we'll go in later today and start our preparation. And, you know, while we recap the game from yesterday and learn from it, also try to get ready for the Giants. Then tomorrow will be a full day. Wednesday will be a lighter day, but still full from a mental standpoint. And then check into the hotel and then wait around all day Thursday to play. You know, I don't really look at the Giants' record as any indication of their team. I've always had great respect for their defense. They have a Hall of Famer at quarterback, and they've always played us tough and given us a hard time. So, you know, I expect it to be a really challenging game. We're going to have to be at our best to win. And, you know, we're excited for the opportunity, the stage, the chance to play at home on Thanksgiving night. I mean, it's a great stage. And I think the challenge is also then after that game, we don't really get a full weekend of rest. We get right back into it to get ready for a road game against the Cowboys. So it's been a bit of a brutal stretch, but, you know, welcome to the NFL, and we just have to keep grinding.
Yeah, 3 games in a week and a half, and no Chris Thompson moving forward. Kirk, it was a heck of a performance, just a devastating way, obviously, to lose, but you guys stood toe-to-toe now with New Orleans, Minnesota the last couple weeks, two of the best teams in the NFC. Appreciate the time. Thanks.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a great week. We'll see you.
Kirk Cousins on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.